This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at BJGeekNation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's choose. TheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. This is going to be a shocker of a story because it involves weirdness and Gary Busey. He was on Dr. Phil recently, and they talked about his cocaine addiction that he once had and how it was so bad that he once snorted spilled cocaine off of his dog.
You actually snorted cocaine off your dog?
Oh, yeah.
How do you get
what an addict does.
So tell me about that.
Okay, I came in the house, took off my little windbreaker, flipped it out, and two bindles of cocaine, like in a wrapper, came out of my coat and hit the floor. My dog, Chili, started rolling. The bindles of the cocaine got all over her. So what do you do? Well, you're an addict. You go snort the dog. And that's what I did. But you don't just get cocaine. You get little fleas and bugs and little things and the hair. It's a potpourri.
I had to ask.
Yeah. Okay, wow, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot of stuff going on with Gary Busey.
Oh, wow. That's what's happening. All right. Here's Gary talking more about his cocaine addiction.
You said cocaine became your hero. What do you mean?
Cocaine was my everything. My family and my career and everything in my life ran a distant second.
Right.
Cocaine was here. And I OD'd, finally. I remember the hospital laying on the bed, stretched out like this with a tube in my throat that big, breathing, and I felt liquid come out of my eyes, my nose, and my mouth. Jeez. Where they were pumping my stomach. And I got May 3rd, 1995 was my last OD. It was when I OD'd on cocaine. I've been clean for 25 years.
Damn.
I could spend a whole day just listening to Gary Busey.
Yeah.
I'm not saying what he's going to say is going to make a lot of sense, but I could spend an entire day just listening to that guy.
So that guy, of course, you know, had that big vehicular accident, and then you got the abuse he did to his body with all the drug addiction. It's amazing he still can put a couple of thoughts together.
Yeah.
It really, really is, considering everything he's been through.
His cameo on Entourage.
Yes.
Is truly one of the... It was part of the best story arc of Entourage ever.
Yeah.
That episode when they did did mushrooms at the Joshua Tree.
Yes. Oh, gosh, that was so good. Yeah. That was so
and
good.
And Gary Busey was a part of it.
Yeah. There was a lot of fun stuff about that show. I wonder if they even do that show today, because it was so offensive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you could do it. They call it Ballers, and it's with The Rock right now. It's basically the same show.
I haven't watched Ballers, but is there a character like Ari Gold that offensive? Is there somebody like that? That's who I think of. Is Ari's character, I'm not sure you could do today.
No, but I mean, there's moments of, like, was it Rob Corddry?
I love Rob Corddry, yeah.
And he has some moments where I'm like, okay, it's just him being, I think, awesome.
The reason,
I can understand why some people be all upset about it, but Ari Gold was such an iconic character.
Yeah, I bring that up because Steve Carell says he doesn't think they could do The Office today for a very similar reason, that Michael Scott said a lot of horrible, inappropriate things that he just doesn't think would fly in today's climate, like you just couldn't do a show based on that. Hmm. And that is so sad because obviously he was an idiot, and that's why it was such a fun character, because anybody who was like that in real life, you know, you're like, dude, basically, your time's up if you're like that. Just like Carol O'Connor and Archie Bunker, time was up when that character was being done, that we're not going to tolerate these kind of real-time idiots.
And I think even with the Ari Gold character, I mean, there was a lot of poking fun at him for being that way.
Well, and they really were making fun of a real-life guy.
Yes.
You know, who they basically, so it was like, this guy shouldn't exist, and, well, I mean, here we are, and I think folks agree. It's just too bad you couldn't have that kind of a fun show.
One texter brings up a good point. South Park's still on. Nothing's too offensive.
Yeah, but South Park, they you know, they're on a different network. It's not a network show like NBC.
Comedy Central, though. And the Entourage was on HBO. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, you're right. Maybe because it's a cartoon, or maybe because South Park was always offensive.
As long as they look cute and cartoony, it's fine.
I don't think anybody ever thinks of South Park as something, you know, I think all people are always complaining about it, that we complain about it, but what are you going to do? It's Trey and Matt. But, you know, you're right. It is still on TV.
I don't think people would be up in arms about an Ari Gold character right now. I think it would
go on. I'll have to see. Yeah, I'll see. I think you're right. I think South Park is a good example. They're still around. Yeah. Now, for whatever reason, people are tweeting about all the things today kids are missing out on by growing up in the Netflix era. I didn't even think about that. Netflix has changed things that guys like you and me, Steve, that like we experience, that young people will not get to experience because they've got Netflix in their lives ever since they can remember.
Huh.
So they got a lot of things. Like, kids will never know the high stakes adrenaline of running to the bathroom, to the fridge, or the bedroom in a single ad break with a sibling screaming, "It's on!" to send you hurtling over the furniture to get back in time.
I still try and do that. And I know I can pause live television.
Yeah.
But when I'm watching like the Hawks, if I have to go do like, I'm running upstairs, I got to quickly do the laundry before halftime's over. You know, I'll go up there and I'm like, and I can hit the pause button and be behind by in a minute. But no, I got to make sure I get this done in time before the Seahawks start playing again.
I love that. I think there is something to be said about there is that adrenaline rush to see if you can get that done, because that's what we used to have to do.
You feel like a champion when you get it done. You sit down and the program comes right back.
You feel like Carson, don't you? When you're just, you know, jumping all over the stuff, getting your laundry done, you're like, oh, look at me, I got through the line, I made it.
Who's Carson?
Isn't he our running back?
Oh, Chris Carson.
Yeah.
Well, when's he doing laundry? I don't know.
Well, I was making the football analogy. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make a football analogy to your story about trying to get to a halftime of a football.
I know, but he's still such a new player. I don't even think about it. It's not, dude, like, you know, Marshawn.
No, dude, I can't blame you. There's a lot of new players.
Like Johnny Carson? What's Johnny Carson?
No, I can't fault
this.
You. You're absolutely right. There's so many new players. You know, like, I'm still, you know, like, Trey Flowers is, like, one of our better guys, and I don't even know who the hell he is. Yeah, so I'm with you, dude. I mean, you're right. I can't fault you on that. It's a brand new team. How about this? Again, these are the things that kids are missing because they grow up in the Netflix era. Someone mentioned how you'd wait to pee during the commercial, and then someone would have to steal your seat or take the remote while you were gone. And another said they learned to take 5-minute showers so they didn't miss a show. All these things you don't have to worry about anymore because of the Netflix era.
The one that I always bring up, being growing up a lifelong wrestling fan, you know, every once in a while they would have that Saturday night's main event, which, thinking about it now, it's crazy, but wrestling was so popular in like the late 80s or around the mid 80s. That they would preempt Saturday Night Live, I think once a month. They would push it back or not do it, or I can't remember because I was so young, but put on Saturday Night's main event a wrestling show with Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and Roddy Piper and all that.
Yeah, those guys were amazing.
But, you know, it was on like 11:30 at night, and I was younger, and I would make it a point, gotta stay awake. Starts at 11:30.
Oh, there's that other
gotta
one, yeah.
Gotta stay awake, you know what I mean? Like, you were just, and you didn't have a VCR, you didn't have a DVR, you didn't have anything. And then, of course, sure as crap, all the time, 10:30-ish, start dozing off. Next thing I know, I open up my eyes, it's 2:30 in the morning.
Oh.
And I just look at the TV, and I would legit scream, no! And wake Dad up, and Dad's like, shut up! But Dad! And then I get mad at Mom. Mom, I told you to wake me up at 11:30, and she's like, I fell asleep too.
Oh.
Such chaos.
Yeah, you're right.
You don't have that anymore.
No, that's not on the list, but that's legit, that you could actually fall asleep during late show, and that's it. You don't have another chance to watch it.
And you'll never see it again. Well, now I can, thanks to the WWE Network.
Yay! Well, the one for me was on the weekends, if you played soccer or had any sports in the morning and you wanted to catch up on like the new episode of Saturday morning cartoons, for me it was X-Men Evolution. I couldn't just set the VCR. I just had to let it record and hopefully it caught it. And the most annoying thing was coming back and you're watching the episode and it cuts in half because the tape ran out.
Yep. I've had that happen.
I don't know how it ends, and then the next episode didn't explain it well.
That's number three here, the high stakes game of finding a blank tape 2 minutes before you realize it's on and the show needs to be recorded of the things that kids are missing because they're growing up in the Netflix era.
I had to record my mom's soap operas because I would get home on time to do that. And you had never seen a woman more pissed than if I forgot to do it, or like Vicky said, it cut off a little bit of it. I don't know what my stories are gonna do. And I'm just like, oh, sorry.
Or how about when you would go to record The Nightmare Before Christmas, and then your mom decided that she was going to record her soap operas over her tape because she thought it was a blank tape.
Oh,
and
you're right.
All of a sudden watching, Days of Our Lives in the middle of Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's why you got to break that tab off that VHS tape, Danny.
There was a tab?
You didn't know about that?
No. Are you serious?
No. Yeah.
It's like you don't know about the tab.
It was like a little square that kind of slightly cut out, but
just like cassettes, like audio cassettes, same thing.
You pop that tab off, and you can't record over it unless you put a piece of tape over it.
Oh. I never knew that.
Oh, look at Danny! Didn't know the high tech. You didn't know that either.
I was little.
Yeah.
Oh, because I remember the frantic moment. Because I was thinking about this, is that there was that moment of I need to find some kind of tape to put over that tab so I could record this show because I'm going to record over something else that was already had the tab broken off. Some stupid movie my dad recorded, of Bridge Over the River Kwai, for the millionth time. And I would run around trying to find a piece of tape, just any kind of tape, or sometimes I would take tissue paper and just shove it in there so I could record.
Oh,
something. Yeah,
that's always a good thing. Put tissue paper in the place where you got to put the piece. That's
desperate times, man.
But God forbid you record over like childhood memories that your parents filmed. With the big old cameras back in the day where you put it on your shoulder. Yeah, those weren't good days.
Oh, God forbid you have a child that actually just likes to sit there and press all the buttons on the TV while you're recording your favorite Star Trek show.
Oh, it sounds like that never happened to you.
No, or the child that likes to go to your... No, can't blame her for this. Joey D's, or he'd like to go in and say, "Oh, I want to see how these video cassettes work." And when you saw, next thing you know, you're having yourself a tape party everywhere.
Oh man!
Oh yeah, dude. And they would be like,
"I'll just pull it out."
The best of both worlds, one of the greatest two-parters in Star Trek history, and Joey is just like, "Hey, look what I did! I'm wearing tape." And
good,
I'm like,
"Good job, son."
Yeah, son. I hope you appreciate that while you're in the yard being for sale.
Person says, for me, it was 10 years old trying to stay up late on Saturday night for Saturday Night Live. I missed many John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd skits.
Oh. Yeah.
Another person says, holding the rabbit ear so your dad could watch TV, from David and Ken. Or sitting by the TV and waiting for your dad to go, Channel 5. And then I had to change the channel because I was the remote control.
You know, my dad never did that.
Turn up the volume.
My dad never, I don't think he did that. Maybe he did, but I don't remember him being that kind of, remote dictator, if you will.
Another person says, kids won't understand how pissed you'd get when you put in a movie and the last person didn't rewind it.
Yeah. Please be kind.
We had one of those automatic rewinders.
You had a rewind machine?
Like machine? Yeah,
man,
we had
you were like
too.
Bougie over there. Those things were so loud, though, it would just echo through the entire house.
And you thought it was about to break, because it's like...
Yeah, and then... Ta-kong! It's done.
These kids, they won't know any of it with Netflix.
So he says, my dad recorded over my sister's ultrasound video with a NASCAR race.
Oh, yeah, Dad.
Wow.
That's the man of the year right there. Yeah. How about this? We talked about this yesterday about how people like to watch TV shows together in long distance relationships.
Uh-huh.
But this is something they say is number four on the list, and I don't remember doing this, but having friends on a three-way call so you could all watch the episode together as it aired. Did you ever do that?
I need more than one friend to do that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Mwah,
mwah. I say I never did that, but I do remember the three-way call and how awesome that was.
Until you figured out that it cost 75 cents per three-way call, and then you get a bill and you get yelled at by your mom.
Well, my dad worked for the phone company here so we were fine.
Oh, look at your dad. He just does everything. Yeah.
Did he get free 900 line calls?
I don't remember that one. Oh. I never tried to call.
I don't think that's something your toddler is going to have a conversation with you about, Steve.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'll ask Juan next time him and I are enjoying a fruit snack.
That's what it is. Yeah. How about the power going out right in the middle of the season finale of something?
I don't really recall that happening. Yeah. I'm sure it might have happened, like, the power going out while watching a show and you started panicking.
It's happened during baseball games for me.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
I didn't have that happen to me when I was younger, but I did for Game of Thrones when a really big scene happened, my internet cut out. So that was just as bad. I'm sitting here, I'm like, what's going to happen to our buddy here? I'm not going to say what happened.
Okay. He's dead.
Got the chlamydia. Yeah,
so how about this? And some people still do this. I don't know why you'd ever have to flip around anymore, but people flipping around to see what's on other channels, but timing it to get back on the show channel right when the commercial break ended.
Watching live sports, I could see you doing that. Like, I'll watch the Devils game, and I have to watch it through my Roku because it's, like, through the Game Center app thing. And then when they have I wish they would change this, but I hate when they go to a commercial break and it's just silence. I don't know why I'm unnerved by that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because I have that with MLB extra innings.
Yeah, so you just stand there and just has a screen. It just says, we'll be back in a few minutes. I'm like, this is like torture. Like, whatever information you need from me, I would tell a terrorist just to get some sound.
God.
What I mean? So I'd start flipping the channels. I'd go back to regular TV and flip around until I thought that they were back from the commercial break.
Like, did anybody else think that, like, some sort of, like, ring-type monster would pop out of the screen and come get you?
No, I don't usually take acid while watching hockey games, so I'm okay.
You should try it, though.
Yeah.
See, that's the first horrible thing you saw as a little kid, so you think that would happen, yeah.
I was, I think, in eighth grade, and they made me watch the freaking Ring, so anytime there's silence on the TV or the TV goes black for no reason, I'm just like, okay, I'm going
to
die.
You should go to the horror exhibit at MoPop, the Pop Culture Museum, and they have in the horror exhibit, they have like a TV that looks like one of those poltergeist-looking TVs,
the old ones,
and it's and you touch the screen, but the screen is kind of like this, like, rubbery fabric.
Like the poltergeist screen.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
And it does, even though I know I'm about to do it, when you do it, you go, what's going to happen?
See, because I went to the MoPop recently and I specifically stayed away because I'm scared.
Oh, you should go.
You got ruined by The Ring.
I got ruined by all the horror movies. Yeah. Tales by the Crypt and
But if you go, you get to really appreciate how low budget some of these effects were. Back in those days, like some of even the weapons, like when you see them up close, you're like, how did this scare me when I was a kid? This doesn't even or a severed head from like a Friday the 13th movie, and you look at it, you're like, this is so like comical to look at. And they will have the little video of the actual scene, so then you're looking at what it looked like on, and you're like, they actually did a pretty good job making this look more believable on the screen.
Yeah, it's the beauty of standard definition television.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Seeing some of that stuff up close, you go, wow, really? That's what this is?
He used that to kill people?
Yeah.
It just looks like cardboard.
Yeah, I know. It's fun to see that stuff up. MoPop is always a good place to go. Researchers, they have come up with the best way for you to be able to get over your ex. And you know what? You are going to need that at some point in your life. What is it? I'm going to tell you at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9
KISW. 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Well, you may not believe this, but we got a new study out of Wayne State University in Detroit. And one of the best ways to get over your ex is actually getting it on with your ex.
One last hurrah?
Yeah.
It's the final bang.
Yeah. They said that people who have had sex with their ex after a breakup were less likely to be depressed and felt better overall on a day-to-day basis. Wow.
Do you think it's kind of like a closure thing? Like, okay, we're done. But I would like one last romp.
My wife was ahead of her time.
Why?
Because that's exactly what she did. Every time we broke up, she said, you know what? Last time for S&Gs.
So did it almost become like a thing in your head, like, I should just end this relationship so I can get some good sex, and then we'll get back together and end it again?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Well, you know, I thought that the second time. The second time she said it's done.
First time, you're like, this is it. This is the last hurrah.
And then, you know what? We ended up getting back together, and then the second time was like, well, I think I suggested it. Like, well, if you're going to dumb, you remember, like, a little one for the kid, one for the kipper?
Be great to do that and then call them by the wrong name in the throes of passion.
Yeah.
Right at the end.
Well, if I'm the one getting dumped, yeah, that'd be a nice thing to do. Just to say, oh yeah, well, by the way, I don't know if you know, but I was out a long time ago. Here's why they say this works. They say that having sex one more time actually gives you a real sense of closure, like you said, Steve, can help you start to move on. So I wonder, if the dumper would do this. I think the dumper is probably more inclined to do it because they feel like, I want to send you off. I want it to be done. So if I give you a nice parting gift, will you leave me alone?
Yeah, but if you're dumping someone, you're probably at that point, you've hit that point of just, I'm not attracted to that person anymore. I don't even want anything to do with that person anymore. The last thing I want to have is us be connected in any certain way. Whereas if you're the one being dumped, you're probably still pining for the person a little bit. So this is at least one last memory.
I don't know, like, sometimes it's the whole, like, I feel so bad that I'm breaking your heart, that's like, okay, here's a pity F. Like, I feel bad.
Oh, that's what I want, is a pity F.
Right? And I did that for a guy. I'm like, what did you, he's like, we didn't even get to do it one more time. I'm like, well, do you want to? And he's like, no. And later he's like, actually, can I take you up on that? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
What a weird conversation to have. Yeah. And why would you want to have sex with someone whose response was, all right, sure.
I'd be like, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's well
nicer with someone than that, but that's what I was thinking.
Now we know psychologically there's a reason. I mean, yeah. It's that closure thing. You're right, Steve. You know, thinking about it logically, yeah, you don't want me, and then all of a sudden you even sound like you're really like it's a pity F, but yet somehow we want to do that if we're the ones getting dumped. And I think it's a guy-girl thing, at least, because I think your response is typical of the average guy, and I think Vicky's response is typical of the average girl.
Yeah, saying those who have not accepted the breakup said it lessened the pain of divorce, while those who had accepted it said the encounter made no difference at all. They probably just did it because they like sex.
Yeah. That's, well, who doesn't? You know, I know there are people that don't, but I'll take any kind of F I can get.
The farewell sex, you should like incorporate new things in the bedroom just to kind of mess with their head a little bit.
Oh, really?
Like, wait, you've never done that before while we were together.
All right, so you're going to have to learn. You'll have to really polish up your game.
I'm working on a handstand move.
Oh, you got a handstand move?
I'm not there yet. You got to work on the core strength.
See, this wrestling's helping you out.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to give you good moves, and your wife's going to go, what are you doing? Why is there a turnbuckle on our bedpost?
Come on, babe. Let me just give you a running bulldog.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
No, not at all. Does it? Especially when you know what the move is.
All right.
Where you drive their head into the mat.
Yeah.
So if you're getting dumped, I would suggest, according to the study, having sex one more time with your ex. Somehow it does a closure thing, at least according to this study. Why not? I mean, look, if anything, it gets you some good endorphins. You go out happier with the person, because we end up getting very contentious sometimes when we leave relationships, you know, whereas sex will give you all the endorphins and dopamine or whatever. And, you know, maybe people be kinder to each other as they separate.
Dude, last time I was leaving the gym and there was a car in front of me. And at first I thought the guy was just aggressively rapping in his car.
Oh, that happened.
Because his hands were moving. He was like banging at his head. And like just, and then I realized that there was someone next to him. And I was just like, what a miserable experience.
Yeah.
Why are you in? Like, and then I just kind of consumed the rest of my drive because I was stuck behind them for a minute. And I'm just, you know, making up a scenario like they're yelling at each other for whatever. I'm coming up. And it's like, and I'm thinking, why are you with that person? Both of you.
Yeah.
How is that fun? Shouldn't you be with someone that you love? And, you know, I know it sounds so simple and basic, and I get people have their issues and are going to argue, but this was like a really aggressive looking argument. And I mean, there was like you could tell there was like legit screaming going on in that car. And I almost wanted to get next to them just so I could hear it, but, you know, that would have been weird on the.
Oh, you think that would have been weird?
Hey, guys, can you roll your window down? I want to know what you're arguing about.
And I've got my phone out because, I mean, this has got to be on YouTube.
Although it would be funny if I rolled the window down. They were just both doing a rap routine.
And that would have been good.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's
your day.
I've
been that guy.
So you're just screaming in a car at somebody for however many miles. That doesn't, I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like a very healthy way to live life.
I will tell you this, dude. First of all, it's not.
Yeah.
But second of all, and you don't seem to have this, good for you that you just don't have this issue. But the issue I had was the whole world was against me. So I didn't think this was the only option that I had in life. This was the best I could hope for in my relationship, was that the world was always against me and I would always have to be fighting. That's what I thought life was supposed to be like, because that's all I knew.
Yeah.
That's the only way you could be in that situation, because you're right. Outside looking in, you're like, dude, just leave. I mean, right. Why? I mean, why are you getting this worked up over anything? If it's this much trouble, just tell the person, look, I'm in too much pain over the, I'm out. But I, at the time, thought,
I get it.
This is the best I can do.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, because every aspect of my life, the job, my coworkers, my friends, I always was in drama. I was always yelling and screaming. And I remember going to therapy, and the therapist is like, you know, it doesn't have to be like this. I go, what are you talking about? My life is always like this. This is life. And he's like, yeah.
This is life.
Yeah.
I'm mad.
It took him a while to go, dude, no, it doesn't have to be like this. But I wouldn't believe that, because I was always in drama.
Yeah, because the whole time I thought about, for both of them, like, this is your world now. Like, you're getting yelled at and you're yelling, and I don't know who's right and who's wrong, but that doesn't seem to be very healthy.
The people that you look at,
go get a McFlurry and cheer up.
I know, but see, that's why I sometimes get angry at you, because you're just wired that way.
Yeah.
You know, and my son's the same way.
I get mad, we argue, but I don't want it to be, I don't want to be in a car screaming at someone.
You're a lightweight compared to how I am. Yeah.
I'm okay with being a lightweight.
Exactly. I mean, you don't
for whatever reason, how you were brought into this world and how you were raised, you just must have had a decent life because you didn't expect life to be miserable all the time.
No, I saw a lot of yelling and screaming, a lot of anger in my life, and I just chose that I don't want to be that person.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought that was how I had to live.
Like, I just made it a mental thing. Like, as soon as I get to that point, I need to stop being in that situation. And I've ended relationships because I became that person.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it. I went to therapy because I was becoming that person, bought stupid books on Amazon about anger management, and I finally going through the therapy day, and the therapist was like, you're not an angry person. I don't know why you're buying all these books. You're not an angry person. You're in a situation that's driving you insane. And I was like, that was just like that moment of like, oh, crap. You just said the most simple thing, and I never thought about that. I chose to be with someone at that time that was making me literally insane.
Yeah.
And they were thriving on that.
Yeah.
And they were looking for reasons to do that. And it just kept turning the screw.
Oh, I know, dude. That's a tough one.
Yeah. So I got out of that, and it was cool.
That's cool, man. Now, I don't know if you heard this. This happened, and I always think it's on my end, but I guess it was a big thing with YouTube. They went down for about 2 hours on Tuesday night.
People lost their ass about this.
Yeah, they did. See, I somehow was able to make it work because I went through my phone and just mirrored my phone, but I couldn't get my YouTube app to work on my TV, but I could get it going on the phone. I just figured it was me. I didn't realize this was an outage that was affecting a lot of people.
People were like, I saw on social media, there was some serious anger. Talk about, they'd be yelling in a car, like that kind of anger.
Yeah, people were not happy. Happened around 6 o'clock our time, and it went for a couple hours. And but you know what? There were people that said, all right, well, if I can't get on YouTube, I'll go to some other sites that I like to visit. The number one site that had huge traffic, huge spiking, Pornhub, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not every night, though. I mean, you always hear that. Like, oh, the Red Sox lost the World Series. We saw a spike in Pornhub. I think people just go to Pornhub all the time.
When you're frustrated.
Yes.
I mean, look, Pornhub.
I need a release.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so YouTube, Pornhub. I mean, RedTube's pissed off because they would think, hey, our name is RedTube. If you can't get YouTube, wouldn't you come to us?
I wouldn't go to any of these. They're just places of just...
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't do it?
Inappropriate actions.
I forgot that about
you. I stick with places that do nice things to nice people. They're called xvideos.com.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, so around 9 o'clock, they spiked up to 12% above average, and then at 21% around 10 p.m., which is Eastern time. And then once YouTube was back up, Pornhub's traffic dropped down to 4% lower than average because everybody was done with it, if you will.
So he said some of my kids lose their S that day.
Well, I wonder because some people are thinking people are watching a lot of videos like the Fortnite, people watching people playing Fortnite, and so you couldn't do that. A lot of kids are probably like, ah!
Yeah, for some people, that's their form of television. Imagine if, like, your favorite shows...
Oh, it's happened.
For one night, like, all of your shows, you're not able to watch anything. Your TV's not working. Nothing's working.
Yeah.
You'd probably lose your mind.
I would. Makes me wonder, by the way, people watching, like, these homemade YouTube videos, basically. Like, people watching people play video games or whatever. Like, what is television viewing going to look like in some time where the kids aren't even watching, like, what you think are considered shows? They're just watching other people play games.
Dude, I tried watching for a half a second. It was a 15-minute long video. I don't know if you saw this. It was all over the internet. That guy that broke up with that super hot weather girl.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
Remember, we talked about that guy. He was a gamer. He's, like, a professional gamer.
That's right.
And he broke up with that woman that's just
Jeanette Garcia.
Yeah,
that's smoke right. show. I remember that.
Right. He put out a video that's probably 15 or 16 minutes long, giving everybody, explaining why he ended the relationship with her.
Wow.
And I was like, why am I watching this? I don't care about this. I don't even want to hear my close friends tell me why they end the relationship. I don't want to listen to this moron. And then I looked at the number of views, and at the time, I think it was like, and it was relatively just new. The video just came out. It was over 800,000 people have watched this.
You're the guy that has the 4 million viewed sonship video.
I don't even get why people watch that.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's just what, it's... I don't know. Maybe people are just...
And it's 4.6 million, I think, at this point.
Oh, pardon me. I didn't realize. You're almost at 5 mil, buddy. People must be just sick of traditional entertainment. They want to see real, I guess.
But maybe. I didn't feel like the guy just, he sounded like a moron talking about it.
I know. He's a big celebrity in that world, though, and so that's why people care. It's just like, why would anybody care about the damn Housewives?
Yeah.
And people do.
One person says, my kid lost his ass when YouTube went down. He's 6 years old.
Whoa, at 6 you're not happy if YouTube's down?
I wonder if people have filmed their kids losing their minds when YouTube went down and posted those videos on YouTube.
I know my friend's nephew, like a lot of kids get their iPads or their little tablets and they watch the YouTube videos and they just click on the next one. It is so bad that they start screaming and everyone's like, what's wrong with your kid? Oh, no, the Wi-Fi cut out for a second. It'll be fine in a couple minutes. But the kid just screams bloody murder and this kid's like 4.
Oh, wow.
Lily loves YouTube, but we had to put restrictions on how much she watches it and what she watches. So now she's really only allowed to watch Peppa Pig because that's
what?
It's Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig?
How do you not know Peppa Pig?
It's a cartoon on Nickelodeon.
Come on.
She watches it on demand on YouTube. But there was like...
Well, we're serving Peppa Pig at Bourbon and Bacon.
Yeah,
Armory true. Next weekend. So go to KSW.com to get tickets.
Gotta love my peppered pig.
Yeah.
But then like this, some of the other stuff, she was just starting to get like an attitude with us. And it was because she was learning it from YouTube. And it was like, we're not going to let her...
YouTube was giving her attitude? Like teaching her how to be like a little sassy?
Wait, is the pig have attitude?
No. It was this other show called Anya and Elsie. And it was these two little girls that just basically play with dolls. And they were just kind of... And she was starting to act like them. And we're like, nah, we're going to stop you from watching that. And so she only watches maybe 30 minutes.
Are they real people, the Yanni and Elsia kids?
They don't look like it. They look like dolls. People are calling the doll and talking for the doll.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We used to do this with our wrestling action figures back in there. Not dolls, but we used to do this with the wrestling action figures. We'd have these... We probably could have made millions as kids, my buddy Chris and I.
Oh, dude, YouTube is... Yeah, I'm telling you, if you had YouTube...
What the F?
It's literally like a million views per video. They do it every week, and it's the most annoying thing you'll ever hear.
Bro, this one has 11 million views.
Oh, yeah.
And look.
Water slide. Elia and Anya, toddlers. What the F am I watching?
Yeah.
And someone's just holding these dolls and moving them like as if you see their hands.
Yeah, there's no real production value at all. They're just...
Nope.
No, they're little kids.
Yeah. They're splashing water at each other.
And if you actually listen to the audio, it's like 10 times worse. You'll get a headache in about 3 seconds.
Is it the people that are holding them talking as kids?
Yep.
Rev, can we hear some of this, you think?
Anya and Elsie, how many videos views does that have, Steve?
This has 11 million views. I'm just watching them splash each other.
Wow. You just never know, man. You just never know what these kids today, what they're going to like.
Wow. Bro.
Yeah. I know, dude. We missed the boat. I don't know how to make money on YouTube. I don't know how it works. The stuff I see is popular.
They disable comments for these videos. Very smart on their end.
It's very true.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, because you're not going to get anything positive with that.
This is so stupid. 26 million views on this one, bro.
And I think of...
And it came out in August.
You see this, and you think of the guys that put together Team America, or Jerry Anderson, who was a really great puppeteer with the Thunderbirds and all that. And then this is what's now all you got to do.
Like, I want to make fun of these guys for, like, you had to sit around and edit this video together. Like, how stupid are you? But really, how stupid are we? They're making probably bank from these stupid
videos. Oh, yeah.
Well, I found one of them that only has 15 million views.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So small.
The morning routine. Like.
Excited because it's the weekend?
Yeah. But where's Daddy?
They went to work.
Okay.
But I thought they didn't work on weekends.
Well, Daddy works on the weekend, but not tomorrow, just today, and we'll have plenty of fun
Canadian?
At the place he promised us.
Tomorrow?
Yay, no, I think that's just the way they talk.
Yes. So you can sit right here and I'll bring your food.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Mommy?
Yes?
Do you have my favorite berry pancakes with syrup?
Okay, we're good. I'm good.
Well, yeah.
But this is just like watching kids play dolls, and somebody decided to throw it on YouTube, and, well, I get how all the other kids would love it, because that's kind of what they do.
Oh, my gosh. But, like, Lily would get ideas from that, and she would start, Mommy! And I was like, oh, stop.
No.
And imagine that, like, on an hour drive somewhere, and just hearing that from the backseat.
They have 4.2 million subscribers.
That's a lot of money right there. Somebody says, my daughter watches that, and I totally agree. It's annoying, and I also had to limit her time watching it because of her attitude change.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, isn't that something? So it literally did have an effect on kids.
Thanks for making me dumber by playing this.
Sorry about that.
Wow, yeah.
That is my first and hopefully last time hearing that.
Yeah, can we just start our own and just see if it happens? Like, we just all bring in a doll?
Yeah.
And let's just create a show?
I think it's a great idea.
Hey, BJ.
I think it's a great idea.
Can you give me a piece of pie?
Yeah. Your old daddy's at work, but I'll see if I can get you pie.
I don't know. I gotta wait. I'm going to go talk to Vicky. Maybe she'll give me some of her pie.
I don't think Vicky gives you her pie, but she'll let you buy some pie.
But Vicky, do you have them in that Boston cream pie?
I have Boston cream pie, and I have apple pie.
Oh, I think
we should share some with our friend Danny.
Yeah, Danny, would you like some apple pie?
Hooray! I want pie!
Oh, see, wait. We can make millions.
Yeah, yeah. We can.
We're in the wrong business.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are, Steve. Honestly. All right, yesterday, Steve, he got this one right.
Sting was the lead singer of which popular band?
The NWO.
No.
The Police.
Yes.
Oh, good job, buddy. You did get that one right, buddy.
I did.
And if you want a shot at beating Steve, you got one. 206-421-ROCK. We'll be playing Beat Migs at 847.
BJ, you want to play a trivia game?
I sure do. Let's play Beat Migs.
Yay! So,
let's check with Vicky. Does she have any pie to play with?
I always have pie to play with.
Okay.
Never mind. Yeah. Yeah, we'd probably get flagged for an inappropriate conversation.
That's right.
We'll just stick to our stupid game.
206-421-ROCK. Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's another question from a listener. I'm getting my wages garnished. Can bankruptcy help with that?
Absolutely. One of the big reasons people file bankruptcy is because they have a judgment or a lawsuit against them, or their wages are getting garnished, and so they can't pay their other regular ongoing bills. People sometimes think that you can't file bankruptcy once they have a judgment against them or once a garnishment has started, and that's not true. Filing bankruptcy will immediately stop any garnishment that you have going, except for child support, and stop your creditors from continuing on with garnishments of your bank accounts, your wages, and in most cases will discharge that liability through the bankruptcy process. And we can file a bankruptcy case for you usually the day you come in.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.